Yoga has been a tool and a way for me to feel more me, like really find who am I really and what are my values? What do I feel about myself? Like really get to love myself and feel connected to who I am.
My conversation with Dea Mørch Jensen, a yoga teacher from Denmark, was so lovely as we looked deeply at how more people are seeking yoga out and also about the importance of playfulness in our practice, how social media has changed people's perception of yoga, and what it means, what it really means to be a yoga teacher. So I hope that this conversation gave you hope, gave you food for thought, and gave you a glimpse into yoga in Denmark. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that is all about yoga in Denmark, then this is the conversation for you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste, family, and welcome back to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I am so excited to welcome Dea Mørch Jensen onto the show today. She is a yoga teacher from Denmark, and she's been teaching yoga for over a decade. She was rooted in Odense, a beautiful town in Denmark, and she was nurtured in the diverse landscapes of Mexico. And Dea's teaching style blends vinyasa flow, yin, hatha, and is peppered with the playful challenges of inversion. So she has shared her passion for yoga in studios across Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, Toulouse, France, and now resides back in Denmark teaching in Copenhagen. So thank you so much, Dea, for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Lily. It's really an honor to be here. And thank you so much for that beautiful presentation. That sounded fantastic.
Oh, you are fantastic. And I'm so excited to get to do this. And let's start off this episode together. Let's just begin by sharing a bit of your story, how you first encountered yoga, and what drew you to pursuing it as a practice and eventually as a career.
Yeah, it's not often that I sit and think so much about my yoga journey or yoga path like that. So that was really interesting as well for me to delve into that and reflect a little bit upon what that journey has been like. And I actually started out when I was, I think, 12 or 13, being introduced to yoga through, it was like a short course for teenagers or young people to just try it out. And it wasn't, like, initially it wasn't a practice or something that really appealed to me. I tried it out. And obviously, as a teenager as well, sometimes you can be a little bit all over the place at that point in life. So I really wanted to like it, but it was difficult for me initially. I wanted to be a yoga person, or I wanted to be a yoga practitioner or someone who was good at meditating and things like that. But I really didn't get into it initially and then just put it on hold for a bit. And then that was in Denmark where I first started out trying it. My personal story is very long, but as a family, we then traveled to Mexico. And that is where, after a couple of years, got a little bit more into yoga, started practicing and really liking it. Yoga became part of my daily life, really, and also a way for me to connect with a lot of people. I made amazing friendships through yoga by the studio I practiced at. Puerto Vallarta was where I really fell in love with yoga. And I was about 18, I would say 18, 19, around that time. It was just kind of magical thinking back to that time. And so I just practiced, and that was really just my life was yoga at that time. And that's then shortly after I decided to do a yoga teacher training, because I figured I wanted to also be able to share it with more people and give my approach to it. And obviously, as the new yoga teacher, after just 200 hours, very intense training, we come out of those trainings very, I don't know, not unprepared, but starting out teaching felt weird for me in the beginning. And obviously that grew on me, and I really enjoyed it after getting to know myself better as well and teach. So yeah, that's my story initially.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. I love that you were introduced to it as a teenager, and that you also shared with us that you're like, not sure, you know, but I want to do it. Yeah, I want to be yeah. with that. But it's great to hear that that transition also into when you're 18 and falling more in love with it in Mexico. Mm-hmm. The one thing too, I'm grateful you mentioned, is that the 200 hour, it left you feeling a little unprepared. So I know some of the yoga teachers in my circles and my community, as well as who are tuning in here, they maybe have just have one 200 hour training. So I would mm-hmm. love to talk to you about one, you're different in various trainings you've done, your 200 hour at Alpha Omega, Mandala Vinyasa, Yin and Chakra, and how you think doing those additional trainings has been beneficial or influenced your teaching style, philosophy, and any advice for yoga teachers who are looking to do additional training.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that not having enough training or that you need a lot of trainings to be a good yoga teacher, but it definitely gave me more perspectives doing different sorts of teacher trainings and with different people as well, because different yoga teachers have very different approaches to the practice and how you can teach it and share it with others. And I actually didn't do another training per se for maybe 6 or 7 years. So I taught with my 200 hours. I just felt that it was only after maybe 1 or 2 years that I felt a lot more confident in myself. At the beginning, maybe you had the same experience when you just graduated, that you felt like you needed more guidance or more experience maybe. And really that comes with just teaching. Yeah, I think it's very normal as a yoga teacher that is newly graduated to feel a little bit confused or maybe doubting a little bit in what they're doing. That was my experience at least. And so when I decided to do more trainings, it was also to get more different approaches, because I felt that sometimes maybe I wanted to be able to have different perspectives on yoga poses. My training I did was 10 years ago, 11 years ago, maybe. And obviously yoga as it is today for me has changed a lot. I see yoga in a very different way now than what I did when I just started out, particularly on the aspect of poses and what we see in poses and how we introduce them to students, and also how we try and adjust them so that everybody can feel comfortable in them. That is one of the things I think I learned most from the yin training, how our bodies are so different. We're so individual. Our bodies, not just flexibility-wise, but also how the bone structure is and how some hips can be super open in one position but very closed in a different one, or a pose will feel different for many different students and they might not be beneficial for everyone. So yeah, that was one of the things that I think I got on a little bit later after I had taught for a couple of years.
Yeah, it comes in that knowledge and with more observing of your students and also more practice of assistance and alignment and adjustment. I think that is such a magical element that it really just mm-hmm. takes time feeling, putting hands on bodies in different shapes and seeing how they respond. And I think it's eternally growing, right? That you can unpack more than you ever thought was possible out of one shape. You're like, I'm still learning about downward dog, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Especially that pose. It has so many different perspectives and ways to feel different things in that pose, depending on how you put your hips or tiny little stretches that you can modify and adjust in that pose.
And I agree that yin yoga, it did shed a lot of light on how every body is different. I know Bernie Clark says everyone has their own biology and biography, and that always is something I try to say in every yin class I teach. I'm just saying, hey, this is not right or wrong. It's never about the aesthetics. It's only about what feels right and is functional and safe. And I don't know, I think that yin in particular gave me a beautiful new perspective, because I also used to really practice Ashtanga very regularly, which I know you used to teach. And so just having that yin element now in perspective in all of my teachings, I think it's so valuable.
Absolutely. And I think it makes yoga more interesting as well. Obviously, there are poses and they have benefits, and they work in different ways, but it's more trying to adjust the pose to the body than trying to force the body into a certain pose, because really it is just a pose. And what we are looking for is so much deeper than a certain look.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that something you are passionate about as well is inversions. Can you delve a little into how inversions have maybe transformed your perspective on the body or on strength?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, because there's so many, what's it called, subjects that come with this conversation that we're having now, the body and how poses look, and also now with Instagram, the focus on a perfect position, or the body in general, very much in focus through social media. But like for me, doing inversions and figuring out, wow, my body is actually capable of doing things that I never thought I would be able to do. I would never did gymnastics, or I never felt like my body was very athletic in any way when I was younger. Start practicing yoga, and I started practicing other sorts of sports as well. But I was also always looking at handstands, for example, or forearm stands, and thinking, I don't think I will be able to do that. And I just put it aside. And then suddenly something clicked where I met people who were like really encouraging and said, try it in a different approach, do different things, and suddenly feeling that magical sensation of just being upside down and feeling a different lightness in the body was really interesting. And also just finding a passion that I could spend, not hours because you get tired in the body physically, but spending a lot of time trying to figure out, okay, how does this work in the body? Which muscles do I need to activate here? And what sort of techniques could help me figure out how to get the sensation? It's something that meant a lot to me personally. And obviously also being able to integrate it in my yoga practice and find a more playful approach to my yoga practice, because also I did a lot of Ashtanga practice at the beginning of my yoga journey. And obviously Ashtanga is wonderful and it has a lot of benefits as well. But I sometimes felt that there was less space for that sort of playfulness for me, at least. I wasn't able to maybe be as creative because obviously it's a series already preset. And so suddenly figuring out, okay, I can actually change things around and do it a little bit more my own way and find something that really works for me and that makes me happy about what I'm doing and discovering new things about myself. That was fantastic.
Yes. Yes. I think the playfulness element is something I love bringing onto my mat, because I realized with Ashtanga for me that I naturally have a little bit more of that drive, achieve, do, and like that doer energy. And it is so nice to have a space where I'm practicing something that's not my natural inclination, right? Something like that would, I hope our listeners can relate to, but saying, okay, maybe you gravitate towards a practice because it is already the energy that you're in alignment with. But if you want to cultivate, I think, more balance as a human, just in your complete 24-hour day, I think trying to introduce and incorporate and being mindful of practicing things that you want to practice having in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also then when teaching, you bring that with you. If that is what you're practicing yourself, students will immediately pick up on that and on that energy that you then bring into the classes that you teach, which, talking about the subject about being a yoga teacher, is really important as well. When I started out, I thought I had to be in a specific way, or I had seen other yoga teachers do certain things, so I thought this must be how it's supposed to be, but not feeling 100% comfortable in it, because maybe it wasn't me. I wasn't being my authentic me, what I was bringing to my classes. And then suddenly realizing, wow, I can do different things, or I can do things in my own way. And people really react positively to that. And sometimes let me know, okay, I can really feel that this is something you are passionate about. And it helps me find passion for it as well, which is really giving.
Yeah. Can we dive a little bit more into how you
Absolutely.
Feel like it's so important about being a yoga teacher? I know it sounded like you wanted to go down that path.
Yes. I thought it was, yes, that sharing of just the passion for movement and using your body in a comfortable way, moving and breathing at the same time, being conscious about how you're moving your body. I love that. And so being able to share that with other people is just fantastic. And that being my job, going somewhere and see people arrive to a class maybe a little bit stressed or not in a super good mood, and then after class being that sort of, wow, that's what I needed, I feel very different now, or you something touched me in this class, that is such a privilege, I think. Not that it's always, everything isn't perfect all the time, but yoga can also, I think, sometimes provoke sadness or move things around emotionally, which is also necessary sometimes as well. But you just get into people's lives in a different way, I feel, being a yoga teacher and being able to guide them through that.
Yeah, it's a very special trust that they put in us. I think that it's so important to really hold that in your heart and in your mind, knowing that they are being vulnerable and tender and showing up with all the tough things that they're going through. We all are going through a really hard space and time, just the world, all of the chaos, the uncertainty. And so, of course, that's the universal, but I think at the individual level, there's even more. And knowing that they show up and that you, especially if you get to touch their body in an adjustment capacity, that is an enormous responsibility as well. I encourage teachers to spend time kind of reflecting on that as well, on how the role that you play in their life, like what are you bringing, what energy are you transmitting, and making sure always being authentic, not trying to pretend to be a different teacher than you already are.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And also that we're all humans. Being a yoga teacher doesn't mean that you've got everything figured out and that your life is in balance all the time. Obviously, as a yoga teacher, you need to show up to class with a certain energy. You can't bring all your personal stuff with you and share that with the students because it's their time when they show up for class. But I think it's also important to show that you are just human and also dealing with things, and on the sense of teaching asanas, that you don't also as a yoga teacher have to know everything and know every single pose and be good at it. I say that with quotation marks, but being human and showing vulnerability as well as a yoga teacher, I think can allow the student to feel met maybe more easily, not feeling that there is that distance between you and them.
I love how you said that. And you also mentioned, Daya, a few minutes ago about Instagram and yoga and how that has maybe shaped people's perspective or changed the game a bit or expectations. Can you talk to me more about your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and that's really interesting because obviously 15 years ago, yoga probably wasn't as, I don't want to say popular, but known, or as it wasn't touched by that many people, or it wasn't something that was just everywhere, which I think is now one of the really positive things about social media, is that it can be shared all over the world and more people are aware of it. And also there isn't this sort of, I don't know, this mystic air about it. It's much more accessible for everyone to do, which I find really cool that more and more people are practicing and getting interested in yoga and breathwork and meditation. But yes, it can also have the downside of being a social media platform. What most people tend to share is a perfect picture or a video that has been recorded many times to get the perfect angle, the perfect lighting, the perfect pose or flow, which doesn't represent maybe a normal practice or the everyday in a yoga practitioner. So obviously that can be maybe one of the less good sides about having yoga on social media and sharing it that way. But again, it's a it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack because it has done a lot of good, but then just the physicality of what people think yoga is, and that can create also a sense of intimidation. Of course, the more crazy, feet behind heads, arm stand on top of a post 3 centimeters in diameter, that's going to be shocking to the internet, and the internet will love that. And so people forget that yoga is absolutely just rolling your wrist in a circle. That's it. Just breathing with your eyes closed is yoga, self-study, concentration, the ethics of yoga as well. All of the elements and branches and limbs of yoga, I think, get forgotten.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yoga is definitely so much more than what you can see. There are so many different things that are just not being talked so much about on social media, but also in many yoga studios nowadays, where it has to be so approachable that it's many people only really get into the asanas, the physical aspects, sometimes not even the breathing and the meditation, but also the philosophy behind what we're doing. It is just more a sense of moving your body, which is great, but there is so much more to it that is maybe being left a little bit behind. And for me as well, I would absolutely love to be doing much more. And again, yoga is a life journey, so I don't consider that I have everything I need now. I still want to be growing and discover more, but yeah, those are aspects that could definitely be more integrated into yoga as we practice it now in society.
Absolutely. And there, I know you grew up in Denmark, but then moved to Mexico when you were young, and now you're back in Copenhagen. Can you tell us a bit about your journey and evolution through those times, if that has those cultural influences have manifested in your teaching or in your atmosphere of your classes? Or also, I would love to hear about the yoga scene in Denmark. I would love to spotlight how that's going there.
Yes, absolutely. It's funny because I obviously started out in Denmark practicing for the first time, which is now over 15 years ago, and now coming back and seeing how it has definitely changed, like I think yoga has in many other places in the world. And then there's also a huge difference, I think, still between yoga being practiced in here in Denmark or maybe Europe, and then Mexico and maybe the US as well. I don't know, Mexico, there's still this very strong connection to the elements, ancient rituals and things like that than what we do in Denmark. So that gives yoga a different touch already, practicing yoga in Mexico. But I would say that it has become, at least in Copenhagen, there are so many different yoga studios now and offering very different styles of yoga, which I think is great as well, that there's a bit of like yoga for everyone. There's the yoga styles that are very traditional and very following the same sort of style as it were 15 years ago. And now also yoga styles where you can ease your way into it. Maybe if you're resisting a little bit, what is yoga? Am I even a yoga person? Then you can try it out with different settings, maybe where you're practicing to electro music. That's not what you would call more typical yoga music, maybe. That is the scene of yoga in Copenhagen at the moment. There's lots of different ways to practice yoga here, and different retreats, different workshops that are offering maybe sometimes to dive a little bit deeper into what is yoga. Because that's also the thing, a class of an hour and 15 or an hour and a half, it can be difficult to cover all of these things. And especially nowadays where people don't sign up for one or two classes each week and come back with the same teacher. It's very much drop in or trying out different studios. So you are often also teaching new students, or as a student, you're often with different yoga teachers, not always the same teacher, which I talked with a yoga teacher here in Copenhagen about that specifically, how that sort of thing where you're following the same teacher for years and years isn't as much a thing now maybe as it were before, because there is this movement going on, people who are here for a year and then they go somewhere else, yoga teachers as well, who are traveling a lot. I personally let you can try out different people and not maybe get this sort of attachment so much to just one person, being able to take different classes with different people and adjust to that. I think that is beautiful as well, being able to get something from different classes and from different teachers.
Yeah, that's so interesting that people are swapping teachers frequently, always going to different places and trying out different things. I think here where I'm teaching in the Midwest in Iowa, I feel like people find maybe two teachers at a studio that they really connect with, maybe three or four even, but they really consistently show up for those teachers. So I think there still is that you fall in love with someone's teaching style and energy and that consistency. It sounds a little like people are sampling. Is that more what it is? Taking one bite here and one bite there, moving from thing to thing. It seems a little, I'm totally making it up. So Dea, I'll let you clarify in a second, but it seems a little like TikTok, that scroll, that short attention span of wanting to try something new constantly. Am I off base or?
I mean, I don't think that is the case. Do maybe thinks for some people, yes, not the majority though. I teach in different studios and I see people coming back to the same classes over and over again and staying in the same studio or the same place and creating community vibes. And that is great. So no, it's not, I would say TikTok, but it's, I don't know, it's maybe a bit more of a mix also because people's, I don't know, work-wise now people are much more flexible. Sometimes they work from home, sometimes they work from a different place that isn't in the same city maybe. So having that flexibility, being able to drop in to different classes and different teachers can be great too. But no, I do see the same people showing up for my classes, but there is just many studios offering different things. So I also understand that people want to try out what works best for them and then maybe settle on one or two places.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense because I'm glad that you were seeing the same students coming for a year and a half to be with you and that you're forming those relationships. Because when I was traveling nomadically teaching yoga in Southeast Asia and Europe, I really missed that consistency of seeing the same students every week, feeling that community space, getting to see their growth and learn more about them as a person and their goals. Or I felt so grateful when I moved back to the U.S. one year ago. And then I was like, okay, it's time. It's time for me to hopefully form those connections. So I'm glad you clarified.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But there is a shift in, I don't know, in the way we do things as a society lately or for the past couple of years, maybe, where, I don't know, I think it has good things and bad things maybe with it. But the fact that more and more people are seeking yoga and trying it out, it's definitely great. More and more people being in a room together, sharing the different rhythm, breathing together, being conscious about how they're moving their body. And I think that can only bring positive things with it, really.
Beautiful. I agree. I think it only bring positive things, right? Dea, I would love to hear too, just to spotlight Denmark as a country. Maybe some of our listeners have visited, maybe they haven't. So if you could provide just like a broad brushstroke on your country, on some things to highlight, we'd love to hear about it.
Yes, I am I'm a very proud Dane. I really appreciate my culture and my country as well. And I don't know if that has to do maybe with living abroad for many years or sometimes maybe missing the things that made me feel Danish. I don't know if that makes sense, but sometimes feeling like I missed how things have been done here in Denmark. Everybody I've talked with and visited Denmark have been really positive about it, and I like it as a society. I think there's a lot of space for people to get together and do things. It's like a community mindset in many things. We like to sing together and show up for activities together. There's a lot of activities at work as well, different workplaces, doing a lot of activities to really make people bond and feel welcome. And then it's also a really safe country, which I think is such a privilege, being able to go out. For example, in Copenhagen here, it's a capital city, and I never feel unsafe. I feel like I can go out in the evening. I don't have to walk with people. I can go on my own. I would never think twice about it. And that is a privilege, very much. It's also a country where it's very easy to get to water. We have beaches very close because we are a tiny country and we are surrounded by water almost everywhere. I love going to the sea, and we have the beach very close here. And since I came back to Denmark again, I've been a little bit obsessed with winter bathing. I think that was one of the mechanism that got me through the first proper winter when I came back again. It can be tough when the sun sets at 3:30 p.m. and it is easy to maybe close yourself in a little bit and not wanting to go out because it's cold or it's rainy or it's dark. But if you find activities where you can feel a little bit part of the elements, for example, winter bathing, it is super cold and your body is freezing, but being able to just do it anyway and be part of the element that is water and the sea does a lot, I think, for the psyche and the mental health during the darker times of the year. So all those sorts of things, I think, are very, very easy to do here, to find things that can help you and find little spots of light throughout your day, yeah, and in your life.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love finding little spots of light, especially when you mentioned the darkness setting at 3:30. And also I love to hear you like, oh, and it's winter bathing, it's freezing and dark and very cold, but it's easy to do. It's easy to have. Oh, that was very beautiful. And I loved hearing how, through your lens, what makes Denmark so beautiful and why you're such a proud Dane. Daya, I do ask this question to every guest who comes on the podcast. What is your personal definition of yoga?
For me personally, yoga has been a tool and a way for me to feel more me, like really find who am I really and what are my values? What do I feel about myself? Like really get to love myself and feel connected to who I am. For me, that has been one of the greatest things about yoga and practicing yoga. And also doing it since I was a teenager or post-teenager and up until now, it's followed me throughout different aspects of my life and has been a tool for me to grow.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Daya, for sharing that with us. And I would love for our listeners, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, wants to reach out, or is planning a trip to Denmark and has a question, can you share on the air here, what is the best way to get in touch with you, whether that's social media or websites or anything else?
Yes, perfect. Definitely get in touch with me. I am on Instagram as Daya Merk, spelled with O-E. And I always post about my classes or workshops or eventually retreats as well. So Instagram is the easiest way to get in touch with me and through there. Links to my email as well.
So I will definitely link your Instagram in the show notes as well as on my website, wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Denmark. So you can head on over there and just easily click a link and be connected with Daya. So Daya, this has been a joy and such a beautiful way to just share space together and get to know your story, your journey, and what yoga has given you and your thoughts on also being a teacher. I think that was fabulous. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Lily. It's been great. A pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Daya Merk Jensen, a yoga teacher from Denmark, was so lovely as we looked deeply at how more people are seeking yoga out and also about the importance of playfulness in our practice, how social media has changed people's perception of yoga, and what it means, what it really means to be a yoga teacher. So I hope that this conversation gave you hope, gave you food for thought, and gave you a glimpse into yoga in Denmark. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that is all about yoga in Denmark, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.